Now Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Samaria was not the only route between Judea and Galilee. In fact, it wasn't the most common one. Because of the Jews' hostilities toward the Samaritans, the Jews would avoid Samaria when traveling back and forth. Samaria was considered as not belonging to the Holy Land. It was a strip of foreign country separating Judea from Galilee. Such a detour would take longer than normal, 3 days of travel. So Jesus intentionally went out of his way to Jacob's well to wait for the Samaritan woman. It was not a chance encounter, but rather a divine appointment. Jesus was exhausted. He was weary from having walked all day, hungry, thirsty, tired, feeling the weight of his humanity. It was about noon in the heat of the day. "Woman, give me a drink." She was surprised because not only do Jewish men not speak to women in public, but she was also a Samaritan. Samaritans were a mixed race who developed as a result of intermarriage of Hebrews and Assyrian settlers and other pagans who eventually infiltrated the land. The Samaritans were considered unclean. And this woman in particular was a social and moral outcast, which is why she was alone at the well, so as to avoid the other women who had been to the well that very morning. And yet, Jesus drank from the same cup as the Samaritan woman. The Hebrews over the years took on some of the attitudes of paganism in dealing with women. Many Jewish men started his day with a prayer. "Thank you, God, that I am not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman," they would pray. In fact, a Hebrew man did not talk with women in the street, not even to his mother, sister, daughter, or wife. She was a woman. She was not an Orthodox Jew. Jesus broke the rules and spoke to her. Not only that, he drank from the same cup as she. All at once, Jesus broke through two barriers: racial bigotry and misogyny. She asked Jesus about where she was to worship, and Jesus answered, "Woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Yet a time is coming when you will worship in spirit and in truth." Samaritans built their own temple on Mount Gerizim to rival the one in Jerusalem, where they offered sacrifices according to the Mosaic Code. Although they shared many of the same beliefs, there was a long-standing controversy between the Samaritans and the Jews as to where worship should take place. Jesus said there was a time coming when God's people would not worship at an external place, but rather that it would be internal. This points to the end of the old law of Moses and the ushering in of Christ and the fulfillment of the new law by the giving of his spirit freely to all, men, women, children, his spirit given freely to all races, all religions, all people, everyone, no exclusions. Jesus told the woman the truth about her life. When Jesus asked her to go call her husband, she replied, with her head hung low, "I have no husband." It is true, Jesus responded. You have, in fact, had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. He knew her. He really knew her and everything about her. And he saw her heart and her life laid bare. He looked lovingly and without judgment into her eyes. He answered her heart that for so long had cried out, "Know me, see me." And she would never be the same because of this radical love from her Messiah. She hurried back to her hometown of Sychar, proclaiming to everyone she saw, "Come and see the one who knows everything about me. Could it be the Messiah?" She left her water jar at the well. This signifies her leaving her idols behind, her old way of life. She stopped running after men who could never fully satisfy the deep thirst in her soul that only Christ could fill. On that day at the well, Jesus became her living water. Jesus became her first love. The Catholic Church canonized this Samaritan woman. Saint Fotina is her name, the evangelist. Her witness brought so many to the Christian faith that she is described as equal to the apostles. Eventually, after having drawn the attention of Roman Emperor Nero, she was brought before him to answer for her faith, where she spit in his face, refusing to bow down to him and his false gods. She suffered many awful tortures and died a martyr after being thrown down a dry well, which was sadly and horribly ironic. After my divorce, I was full of shame and guilt of the consequences of our broken marriage on our children and on our families. As a friend prayed for me, this is what she saw as she prayed. I was in a dark room, a candle dimly lit, sitting cross-legged on the floor, my head bowed in sorrow and shame. I caught a glimpse of a shadow standing in front of me. He crouched down, gently lifting my chin, slowly, until my eyes met the loving gaze of Christ. And at the bottom of my thirsty, weary soul, his love washed over me. He knew me. Every part of me, and he accepted me anyway. In my pain and my brokenness, he continued to gaze into my eyes as he took both my hands in his and gently helped me to my feet, never looking away. We stood there, silent. And I knew, as I know now, that he loves me. He knows everything about me. And he loves me still. The Spirit inspired me to write the following, which I entitled The Prodigal Daughter. I read it today because I believe it is meant for me and it is meant for each one of us. Come home. Stop hiding out. Know that you deserve all that I have for you. Let me give it to you. Receive it. I love you. My love for you never changes. The royal robe Let me wrap it around you. Wear it proudly. You are my daughter. Be at home, here in my arms, in my embrace. Stop punishing yourself. Give yourself what you need. Stop trying to prove yourself. I need no convincing. I made you, and you deserve all the love, the riches, the joy this life has to offer. Don't doubt yourself anymore. I have placed desires in you. I am restoring that which was stolen from you. Don't be afraid, child, my precious child. I am leading you. Let go. The past is gone. You have so much right here, right now, in this very moment. Look, see, open your eyes. Your gifts are not dead. Your creativity is not dead. This is a season of growth. The depth and quality of what you bring forth is increasing. I will cause it to spring forth. You will exchange a spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise. I am bringing it all together. Shake off the tattered garment of guilt and shame. They are falling away. Put on the robe of righteousness, not perfection. That is why I died, because you are not perfect. Please understand that I see you pure, in right relationship with me. Claim that, believe that I love you, and you are mine. Jesus told the Samaritan woman that a time was coming when worshipers would worship in spirit and in truth. True worshipers are those who have had an authentic encounter with Christ, those who know the truth deep in their soul, that Jesus is their Savior, their lover, their friend. Those who have been touched by His Spirit, those to whom the one true God has been divinely revealed. Then there is a natural response to want to give praise and honor to God. A heart full of gratitude that can't help but cry out, "Hallelujah! What have I done to deserve love like this?"
When I am a long night, say there's a treasure. You look till you find it. You search to find me. What have I done to deserve love like this? What have I done to deserve love like this? I cannot earn what you so freely give. What have I done to deserve love like this?
Hallelujah. 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 Amen.